I want to thank you so much for tuning in today for our weekly show called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. We focus here on personal and spiritual growth, on spirituality rather than religion, and we explore ways to actually reclaim the connection with our own inner divinity and with the power that comes through that connection. We share with you workable, proven methods for experiencing greater peace, love, joy, and connection, and how to remove the internal, often unconscious, obstacles that have blocked our connection with the divine source of all life. I believe it is our God-given right to experience joy, peace, and unconditional love, to actually feel whole in body, in mind, and in spirit. And if that's what you want, then I hope you and all of your friends join me every Wednesday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern to learn how you can begin living the life you've always wanted to live. I'm Reverend Louisa Dyer, an interfaith and metaphysical minister with 25 years counseling experience, and my passion has always been spiritual connection, along with sharing what I've learned in a lifetime of study about being happier, healthier, and more at peace. So each week on Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, we focus on what works, on what helps, on what really matters, so we can have both the energy and the inspiration to live in new ways. Each of us is a divinely created being, and that divine spark of life is alive in each and every one of us. I know that because without it, we wouldn't be breathing. We wouldn't be living. And because of that inner divinity, we have the choice and the power to rise up out of depression, addiction, anger, or any other suffering that we may have been experiencing. I know this because I've done it, and I've watched countless others do it as well. So I hope you join us every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern, right here on 88.3 FM or online at WAIF883.org, as we tap into the power, the beauty, and the divine love that animates all forms of life, including yours and mine. There's never anything we need to get or to gain in order to be happy. There's only stuff to let go of, stuff that has blocked our awareness of God, Source, divine energy, unconditional love, whatever you want to call that divine spark of life that lives in our hearts. That divine power in our hearts is ours as soon as we claim it. And this show is about doing just that. So I want to thank you for listening. And if you would like a free guided meditation or some other tools to help you get in touch with that inner divinity, that higher self of your own, there's a free guided meditation and a lot of other tools on my websites, which is just my name, LouisaDyer.com and LouisaDyer.net. And there is also a Facebook page that's for this show specifically. On Facebook, it's called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And you can interact on that page. You can find out what's coming up each week. We'd love to hear from you and know what you really want to talk about, what really matters to you. So I hope you join me on that Facebook page, or you find me at LouisaDyer.com or LouisaDyer.net, and use those free tools and that free information to help you with your own journey. And so we begin each week, each show, with a little bit of music to uplift our spirits, to help bring body and mind into a greater harmony, and to let the body actually move if it wants to. So the body can begin feeling more strongly the spirit, which is actually animating the body. So I'm going to play a little bit of music. Hope you enjoy it.
Inside of me, how? Standing as one. will stand as one for humanity.
All you beautiful spirits, you are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM on your dial, and WAIF883.org online live streaming. And what we're doing here is we're actually practicing tapping into the power and the beauty and the divine love that animates all forms of life, including mine and yours, when we can actually begin to welcome that connection with that divine spark of life that lives in us, then we begin to wake up to the beauty and the joy and the love and the glory that is in life itself. And so what we do here on this show is we focus on spirituality rather than on religion, and we work with proven tools, methods, ways that we can actually grow inside of ourselves. We can grow into that peace and love and joy that I believe is our birthright, because it all lives inside of us. And the key to experiencing it, of course, is just removing whatever has been blocking us from the reality of that. And so today, what we're going to talk about specifically is prayer, and especially affirmative prayer. and what that means, and what is it, and what does it do, and how do you do it, and do you have to be religious? And the answer to that is no, absolutely not, because God is everywhere, in everything, including you. So religion is not necessary in order to pray, but prayer is an amazingly powerful tool. We're going to talk about prayer. What is it? What it isn't? What it means? How to do it? You know, in the broadest sense of the word, to pray is to make a, let's call it a humble manner. The term to pray is often used to refer to specific religious prayers, but it's been around for a long time and it's not religion specific. It really means to attempt to commune with, communicate, have a connection with some spiritual reality or a spirit or deity that you happen to believe in. It's something that humans have done forever, all the way back to hunter-gatherers. We have indications that people were praying, the ancient Egyptians and Greeks, and most of the followers of today's major religions. Everybody prays. Now, they might pray in a very different way, but prayer itself is a very common thing that humans have always done in an attempt to communicate with their sense of God, whatever that is. You know, I've often heard it said that meditation is where you're listening to God, and prayer is where you're talking to God. And, you know, we could talk about that whole concept for a long time. But I think in general, you know, you can sort of think that's true, that meditation is about being quiet and still and opening yourself up to that power that's in us as well as all around us, whereas prayer is about speaking to that power that is also in us and all around us. And so while the rituals or conventions of prayer, they might vary really widely, but the intention, I think, is always the same. It's an attempt to renew one's spiritual connection with that power that is both inside of us and all around us. Now, you can call that power God, Source, Spirit, universal energy, life itself. It doesn't really matter what you call it, in my opinion, but it does matter greatly that you call on it. And so I just wanted to talk just a little bit about the different kinds of prayer that people use and tell you, because every religion has very different ways of doing that, and a lot of non-religious people actually also have a lot of ways of doing that. And the main idea, I think, that we have to begin with is we have to talk about the millions of us who either think about praying and never do, or wish we prayed but can't quite find the time, or don't know how. And so there's just a couple of things that I want to say up front that I think will make it easier for us to pray. But before I do that, I want to let you know why. Why would you even want to pray? Well, I can tell you something that's very profound truth. Prayer has actually been researched for many, many, many years. I mean, back in the 70s, there was I was already studying the research that was done on prayer. And since the 70s, probably before that, but certainly since then, there have been lots and lots and lots of studies that prove prayer works. So why would you pray? Because it works. It is a way to express what's going on inside of you that you're having a challenge with, what's going on inside of you that you want help with. And you can actually receive that help by praying. So that is the answer of why pray. And I'm telling you from my experience, you don't have to pray to any particular deity. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're Muslim or Hindu or Christian, pagan, it doesn't matter, because prayer works. And the reason I believe that that is because of the study that I've done and the understanding I've come to, that God is everything, everywhere, all the time. God is fully present in every situation, in every moment, in everything that exists. God is. And I know that because if God wasn't in you, if God wasn't in me, we wouldn't be breathing. We wouldn't be walking around, because that spark of life, that's what God is. God is that life, that power that animates each and every one of us. So that's how I know that God is in us, well as around us, and in and around everything and everyone. So it doesn't matter, really, if you have a particular name that you are praying to. What matters is the prayer itself. So you would do it because it is a way to get support. It is a way to get help. It is a way to get peace. It is a way to feel the God that's inside of you. It's a way to connect with that God that's inside of you. And when you ask in awareness of that God inside of you, then you change reality, because God is that reality all around us. And so that's the answer to why would I even pray? How do I pray? Now, that is a very individual thing, and that's what we're going to talk a lot about today, is how to pray, because there's a lot of different ways to pray. And when the research was done and has been done, there's actually ways to pray that have been shown to be much more effective than other ways. And basically, as a, in a general sense, we could call that affirmative prayer, as opposed to pleading or begging or, you know, acting like a victim prayer. And there's a lot of reasons why that is so. But one of my favorite is just, if you just look at what Jesus said, that here it is, Mark 11:24. Jesus actually said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Well, you know, Jesus isn't the only one who said that. There's been lots of prophets and teachers throughout time who have all said exactly the same thing, using different words. And that's what's actually been shown, is that that kind of affirmative prayer, where instead of praying and asking for something as though you don't have it, pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Pray a prayer thankful that you already have it, or that it's already on its way. Because that's the truth of it, and that's the kind of prayer that works the best. So, how do we actually make prayer a part of our lives? Well, you know, it's just like anything else. We have to make it a part of our lives. It's like, first of all, we have to take the time to pray. No matter how we pray or who we pray to, it can actually be difficult for a lot of us with these crazy busy lives that we have to find the time for prayer. And so one way to deal with this, of course, is just to make it part of your daily routine, such as, you know, praying before you get out of bed in the morning, or right before you go to sleep at night, or before every meal. I mean, I certainly do that anyway. I think David Hawkins has done the research that shows that if you actually bless your food before you eat it, it raises the vibration of the food, which means you're taking in a higher vibration nutrient than you would have if you hadn't blessed that food. And many people pray during emotional times, you know, if you feel sad or scared or happy or angry. But and you can pray at any time of the day, as much or as little as you feel like works for you. A prayer can be 1 to 10 seconds. A prayer can be 3 hours. A prayer can be whatever it is that works for you. My intention has been to maintain a sense of like a state of prayer. I call that contemplation, all the day, all the time. by remaining conscious of this spiritual connection that is always present. And as a matter of fact, when I feel disconnected from that, then I don't feel good at all. I want that connection. And prayer is a way to give us a sense of that. So it doesn't matter when or how long or how much or even how often, but if prayer is an important thing to you, if you want the support and the help and the connection that comes from that, then you have to figure out how it's going to work to make it a part of your regular routine. For some people, it matters where they pray. And so if that matters to you, then find a place that feels like a good place for you. You know, you can have a special corner in your house, or you can make an altar for yourself and burn some incense or a candle, or you can find a place out in the woods, or whatever it is that works for you, that gives you the space that helps you connect in that way. And then some people have actual positions that they use, depending on their belief, to pray with their hands or with their bodies, standing or kneeling, putting your hands together. It's like, again, that's totally up to you. Although I will say that Dr. David Hawkins did research on it, and he found that when you put your hands together, you know, when you just place your hands together and put them under your chin and bow your head, that there is actually a particular energy vibration that goes along with that hand position. And so I often find that praying with my hands together like that is an easy way to get into that position of feeling like I'm connected with Source. And some traditions have certain preparations that you do before you actually pray, and some of them don't. But if your religion gives you preparation things, then by all means, do that. People do that in a variety of ways all around the world. I mean, some people, you know, wash certain parts of their body first, or anoint with oil, or ring a bell, or burn incense, or light a candle. Sometimes there's specific directions to follow, or a specific direction to face, or making the sign of the cross, or fasting is a part of prayer preparation in some religions. And sometimes, you know, this preparation is done all on your own. Sometimes it's done with other people. Sometimes someone else actually directs it. So when you're praying, a lot of traditions have you speak out loud, and a lot of traditions also have you speak silently to yourself. But what I know from really a lot of experience is that you can pray by speaking out loud. You can pray silently. You can pray by dancing or singing. And some prayers are songs, or maybe I should say some songs are prayers. And sometimes people pray simply by reciting prayers from memory or reading them. And then a lot of other prayers are just like conversations. Eyes can be opened or closed. For me, it really helps if I put my hands in that prayerful position and close my eyes, because then I feel like I'm not distracted by all the external stuff. And it's easier for me to then feel that connection with that divinity inside of me and all around me. And then you make your request, or you ask the question. Your prayer can be about asking questions or seeking strength or sending good wishes or thoughts or love or energy to others, or just prayers of gratitude, just giving thanks for everything that there is, which personally I think that is the most powerful prayer, is a prayer of thanksgiving. You know, if you look at all the research and all the different traditions that there are, what you see pretty quickly is that the most basic form of prayer is a request for help in becoming a better person, or healing, or asking even that God, Source, Spirit, direct your prayer as well as your life. And then you can end the prayer any way you want to. And again, people all over the world do that in different ways. There are special words that people use, or phrases, or sometimes just sitting or standing in silence. some of the most common ways to end a prayer is saying Amen, or saying Blessed Be, or saying So It Is. There's a lot of ways to do that. And we're going to take a little musical break and play this song that I heard for the first time last week by Jody Solon that says God is everywhere. Because that's really, to me, how prayer works, is because God is everywhere. It doesn't really matter where we are or how we pray. God is everywhere. And when we make that request known, again, I'll quote Jesus, because so many people in this culture know Jesus. It's like, ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened. And that's the truth of it. And every teacher in every spiritual tradition has said that in one way or the other. And so when we come back, we're going to talk about a number of different kinds of prayer. And I'm going to give you a few prayers if you want to have pen and paper to write some of those down. Prayers that have been proven, actually, to be helpful. And the idea, of course, is exactly what Judy is telling us in this song, which is God is everywhere. And you know, that's why prayers work. So I'm going to play a little bit of music. We'll be back in a few minutes, and I hope you join me then. Enjoy. peace is really what most of us are lacking, what most of us are longing for. And if there is one reason to pray, then that would be my answer, is to find a way to discover that peace, because it lives inside of us. There's a lot of stuff in its way that keeps us from being aware of it or connecting with it. But that peace, it lives inside of us, or we couldn't ever access it. And so hopefully those two songs about peace, and then the one about reminding you that God is everywhere, in everything, all the time, gives all of us reason to know how it is that prayer is effective. And all the research that's been done on it will prove that to you, if you don't already know that. And we're going to talk about how to make that even more effective. Different religions, you know, have different ways of praying. And I think I'm going to talk about just a little bit about how different religions go about praying, because you never know who your listeners are. And I hope we have a big cultural and religious and spiritual varying audience. And so I just want to let everybody know that everybody prays in one way or the other. And one of my favorite ways to pray, in terms of the Christian religion, is talked about very clearly by Jesus. And the Bible that I use most of the time is called the Modern New Testament from Aramaic, by Dr. George Lamza. And Lamza spent his life actually devoted to translating the original, it was called a Peshitta, I do believe, in Aramaic, which was supposedly the language that the New Testament, certainly, and probably lots of the Old Testament, was written in Aramaic. And that is George Lamza's original language. And he devoted his life to learning English and translating the Bible, the Old and New Testament, straight from the original writings into English. Because the King James Version of the Bible, of course, has been translated 4 or 5 times. And anybody who's ever worked with translations know that every translation changes the meaning of certain words, because they're different. Words are very specific and they mean different things in different languages. Anyway, I love this Bible, this Aramaic version of the Bible. And in it, Jesus gives a very clear description of how to pray. And Jesus, this is, I'm going to start reading from Mark, 11:22. Jesus answered and said to them, "If you have faith in God, truly I say to you, whoever should say to this mountain, 'Remove and fall into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will be done, whatever he says will be done. Therefore I say to you, anything you pray for and ask, believe that you will receive it, and it will be done for you. And when you stand up to pray, forgive whatever you have against any man, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your trespasses. But if you will not forgive, even your Father in heaven will not forgive you your trespasses." And so that is the Christian, one Christian version of praying, is in faith you ask, and believing that it is already so, then it shall be. I think that's quite beautiful. In Buddhist religion, the purpose really, I guess, of Buddhist prayer is to awaken our, you know, that inherent, that intrinsic compassion and wisdom that's in us, rather than to actually petition any sort of external forces based on fear or idolizing or worldly or even heavenly gain. Buddhist prayer is more often a form of meditation. It's like inner reconditioning or reprogramming. And Buddhist prayer actually, in my experience, attempts to replace the negative thinking or the negative programming we have with the virtuous, the holy, the reverent thoughts and ideas inside of us and points us to being in a state of gratitude for the blessings of life. And a real typical Buddhist prayer is, well, there are really long ones and really short ones, but the one I really love the most, I'll just read it to you. It's called the Universal Love Prayer. And this is straight from the Buddhist teachings. Specifically, this is from the Metta Sutta. And it says, may all beings be filled with joy and peace. May all beings everywhere, the strong and the weak, the great and the small, the mean and the powerful, the short and the long, the subtle and the gross, may all beings everywhere, seen and unseen, dwelling far off or nearby, being or waiting to become, may all be filled with lasting joy. Let no one deceive another. Let no one anywhere despise another. Let no one out of anger or resentment wish suffering on anyone at all. Just as a mother with her own life protects her child, her only child, from harm, so within yourself let grow a boundless love for all creatures. Let your love flow outward through the universe to its height, its depth, its broad extent, a limitless love without hatred or enmity. Then as you stand or walk, sit or lie down, as long as you are awake, strive for this with a one-pointed mind. Your life will bring heaven to earth. And so it is. Gosh, isn't that beautiful? That is a very, I don't know if you would say famous, but common Buddhist prayer. So you can see with the Buddhist prayer, you're asking for the good of all things, all life. And I just want to say before I go on from the Buddhists is that there are all kinds of different Buddhism practices throughout the world. I know of a number of them, and some of them are more metaphysical or mystic than others. And there are some Buddhists that believe in a pure land, which is similar to the Christians' belief in heaven. But their most Buddhist practices are based in the belief of enlightenment here and now. And so the prayers tend to be focused on waking up here and now, feeling alive and awake and connected, and in blessing and gratitude for everything here and now. Hinduism is another world religion, and their holy scripture is called the Bhagavad Gita. And Lord Krishna is the representation, I guess, in there of the holy person. And what Krishna says is, he who offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it wholeheartedly. And so Hinduism as a religion caters to all types of people, whether they believe in God as a God of form or without form. And in that religion, it's believed that God can be attained by worship and meditation or just by the repetition of holy names. And so the prayer or the ritualistic worship that's done in Hinduism can span hours, and chanting lots of different words or mantras or songs and offering food or swinging lamps. Or it can be, as Krishna said earlier, just the offering of a simple leaf. And people often don't make a distinction in Hinduism between meditation and prayer, because they are the same thing. The meditations are prayers, and the prayers are meditation. But it's a devotional act that requires a really clear, steadfast mind that is focused on God, on Source, on Being, and I call that meditation. But regardless, that is really how prayer is done in Hindu. It's much more about chanting and singing and meditation. Whereas in Islam, then prayer is a communication directly with Allah. And what the purpose of prayer in Islam is that prayer purifies and cleanses the mind. And Muslims do that 5 times a day. And the point of it is to bring peace into your life. And prayer is also a human's way to thank Allah and to also remind Allah to watch over the life and giving the person the courage and the wisdom and the clarity, really, to face whatever it is there is in that life to be faced. And so I'm just telling you this to let you know that all the different world religions have very specific ways to pray, but the idea behind it is pretty much the same in all of them. It is a way to feel connected, supported by, in touch with that God energy, whatever it is that you call that. I love in the Unitarian Universalist Church, which is a denomination, because in the Unitarian, we'll just call it UU, Unitarian Universalism, they respect all religions, and they attempt in their services to bring forth teachings from all the different religions, because what they realize is whether you're talking about Native American spirituality, or whether you're talking about Catholicism, or whether you're talking about Hinduism, at the core of every major religion or every tribal religion, at the core it's all the same, and that is that God is, and God is in you, and God is in me. And so what happens at UU, a typical prayer there, is to light a candle or fill a cup with water, somehow just use that as a way to get yourself present and calm yourself, close your eyes so you don't have the distractions, and just become centered in yourself. And I went to a service, a UU service, and I just loved how they did that so much, because once you lit the candle and you closed your eyes and you took a moment to get present, what they said was, imagine your soul or your life spirit being active in all parts of your body, and then slowly calming and coming together in your heart. Oh, that was such a beautiful way of saying that. Often there's a gong or a sound, but there's often a prayer, and here's one I want to read to you from the UU that I just thought was so beautiful, because it takes the reality of everything into consideration without discounting anything. Their prayer says, we light this chalice, which is just a cup, you know, with either water in it or a candle in it, whatever. We light this chalice for the light of truth, the warmth of love, and the fire of commitment. We light the symbol of our faith as we gather together. And then everybody says what their prayer is. And they tend to do that in affirmative prayer form, such as, I send my positive thoughts to Aunt Edna during her surgery and ask for a quick and full recovery. And thank you, God, for making that so. And then everybody does that. And then the candle is extinguished, and then people might hold hands, or it's just a beautiful ceremony, I think, because what you're doing is you're just saying positive wishes for yourself or for others, and you can do it either in your mind or out loud. You can direct your thoughts to God or saints or any beloved symbol or Jesus or Holy Spirit. I love that about UU. They're very, very inclusive. And you are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, your favorite listener-supported radio station. And I'm Reverend Louisa Dyer, an interfaith and metaphysical minister, your host every Wednesday on 88.3 FM and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. The show is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And we focus here every week on spirituality and personal growth, and on the fact that we're divinely created beings, that God, Source, Great Spirit, Divine Energy, life itself lives in us, and especially in our hearts, and it's our birthright, And my purpose here is to inspire you to claim that birthright. And I want to thank you so much for listening. And I also want to let everybody know that if you want some help connecting with that inner divinity of your own, in being in touch with that, what I often call the higher self or the true self inside of you, there are some free tools on my website. In particular, there is a higher self-guided meditation that's about 10 minutes long. You're invited to download that and use that if you would like. Today, we are talking about prayer. We are talking about different types of prayer. And we're going to spend a good deal of time on affirmative prayer and what that is and why it works and a little bit of the research that's gone into that. And, you know, someone asked me, well, you know, I don't have time to pray, or why should I pray, or what if I don't believe in God? And my answer to all of those questions is this: prayer is effective. Whether you believe in God or not doesn't matter. Whether you believe in goodness or divinity inside of your heart, even that doesn't even really matter, because it's true whether you believe in it or not. If you are willing to allow that there could be divine energy in your heart, or that life itself might be divine, that's all. Jesus was really clear about that. It only takes the faith as big as a grain of mustard seed. Do you know how tiny that is? The moment we say, I'm willing to allow that, I'm willing to believe that, I believe that is the as much faith as is in a tiny little mustard seed. So we are talking today about prayer and all the research that shows, the research that's been going on for many, many years, and obviously throughout human history, all the way back to ancient times, it has been proven that it works. But there was actually scientifically done research beginning in the 70s that shows that prayer actually makes a big difference. So that's the answer to why bother, you know, why take the time, because it's effective. The other reason that means actually more to me is that when we pray, we actually open ourselves up to connecting with that power, that source, that divine spark of life that lives inside of us. We're actually communicating with it, which implies that we're opening ourselves for it to communicate with us. And that really matters. And so we had mentioned affirmative prayer, and it's something that I think a lot of people know a little bit about. And where did that come from, and what is it? And before I even get into that, I'd like to say that the research that's been done shows that affirmative prayer is what actually works. And part of what affirmative prayer means, of course, is that instead of asking for something to be done in the future, or asking it from a place of fear, or making a request from feeling like a victim or from a place of fear, we make a request and then we let ourselves feel as though that request has already been met. We see it as already done. That's what Jesus was saying 2,000 years ago. You'd think we would have learned by now to pray that way, to pray with the knowing that it has already been accomplished. The religion that has really taken that and run with it is actually called science of mind, and they don't actually call themselves a religion at all. They call themselves a way to think about life and God and source differently. And science of mind is different than Christian Science, which I think does consider themselves a religion. But anyway, regardless, science of mind, which I took their practitioner training, although I never did become a practitioner in that because it wound up being too structured for me in a lot of other ways. But they have what they call a spiritual mind treatment. Now, what a spiritual mind treatment is affirmative prayer. And they have a very clear formula. Anybody can learn how to do it. A lot of people who are into science of mind, they just call it a treatment. But if you ever go to one of their services, there's always people there who are willing to sit with you after the service and do treatments for you. In other words, do some sort of healing prayer. And so you tell them whatever your issue is, and then they will do a spiritual mind treatment with you. And the basis of that spiritual mind treatment is, it's sort of like Jesus said, if you have even a mustard seed size of faith, then you can move mountains. You can do anything you want to do. And so what the science of mind treatment does, it's based on that this universal presence, call it God, call it Source, call it Great Spirit, call it Jesus, this universal spirit permeates everything. I mean, it's everywhere all the time. And because of that, because it's everywhere, including inside of me and inside of you, if we have that attitude, then we can open up to new possibilities, to something being different than it has been. And we're able to see and feel and speak of the good that we're wanting to have happen as already ours, which of course is just what Jesus said to do. And then we can let God, life, spirit, do what it does. I think it was Einstein who said, Albert Einstein, who said, the minute we make a decision, the whole universe begins conspiring to make it so. That's kind of the premise here. Everything is energy, and we're just working with the laws that exist in the universe. And so a spiritual mind treatment, it's not about convincing God to do something for us. It's actually becoming aware of the God presence, the God energy that's already inside of us. And when we begin that treatment, what we do is we acknowledge that within the universe there is this one power, this one presence that's encompassing everything that's in existence. It is in it, around it, through it. And this one energy is what everything in the universe is made out of. And, you know, many people throughout the ages have called this source of all things God. And so we can use that word. That's perfectly fine. My ancestors called it Great Spirit. Muslims call it Allah. Hindus call it Krishna. It doesn't matter what you call it. The name is not important. What's important is that we recognize the truth that this power, this presence is in everything that exists in the universe. And so in a spiritual mind treatment, once we accept that, then we recognize that the magnificence and the power of that one presence that is absolutely everywhere within the universe, we realize that that same intelligence that has created everything, it doesn't stop being where we are. So therefore, it's within us, and it's actually the substance that life itself is made out of. And so in this step of a spiritual mind treatment, we become aware of who we really are. We are divine beings made of God's energy, having a human experience. And then in step three of the spiritual mind treatment, we name our desires with the feeling, and the words usually too, that as we name them, they're already ours. So see, we're moving away from the feeling of wanting, which is actually, from an energetic point of view, as long as we're wanting something, what we're saying in our subconscious is, we don't have it. And so we're keeping ourselves separate from it by believing that we are. But by claiming it in a feeling way and in a verbal way as already ours, whatever this is that we want, by claiming and feeling that it's already ours, that we've already received it, then what's happening is we begin, what starts coming up immediately within ourselves is this sense of gratitude, this awareness of thankfulness that this thing that I have spent so long struggling with or wanting or feeling a lack of, that in this moment I can simply declare it as already mine, as already here, and I can feel that. And it's a very powerful feeling. And you know, the truth is that the source of all that is, God, Great Spirit, whatever you call it, it doesn't need our gratitude to function. It doesn't even really need what Jesus would call our faith to function. It's like it doesn't need that. The universe is made like it's made. But it's the attitude of gratitude that's inside of us. It's the faith, if you will, that we have. That is what opens us up to receiving what it is that we've been saying that we wanted. It's like, it's who we are inside, our state of consciousness. If we're in a state of lack and we're praying from that state of lack, then we're just going to get more of that because that's the way the universe works. What you believe in is what you get. If we're praying from a state of faith and belief that it is already so, because that's the promise, then we open up to receive what is already there. Because, you know, it's a law in the universe. Whether you study quantum physics, or whether you study the Bible, or whether you study the Bhagavad Gita, or whether you study the Quran, or whether you study Native American tribal religions, the law of the universe is evident in all of those traditions. What we focus on, that's what shows up in our experience, more of it. If we're focused on the good that we're already letting ourselves experience, then more good is showing up. If we're focusing on the lack, if we're focusing on what we don't have, then more of what we don't have is going to show up. That's just the law of the universe. And so in a spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer, once we've done those first four steps I just went through, then what we're left with is we got to trust, or we got to have faith. We release our prayer to the wisdom and the love of God, of the universe. The Creator, Source, God, doesn't actually require our input on how our desire gets manifested for us. The how, you know, a lot of teachers will tell you this, the how something occurs is none of our business. What is our business is getting very, very clear about what we want and then allowing ourselves to see it, first of all, as possible, second of all, as already existing, and third of all, if we can actually feel it as already so, that's even more powerful. So those were the steps. I'm not sure if I should go over those again. I'm feeling like I should, for what a spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer is. So I'm going to just go over those really briefly for any of you who actually wanted to know how to do affirmative prayer and practice it on your own. Step one, we acknowledge that within the universe, there is one power that is encompassing everything is in existence, one energy from which all things are made of. You can call that God if you want to, but you don't need to. What matters is that we recognize this truth, that there is one power, one energy in the universe, and everything's made out of that. Step two is, having recognized the magnificence and the power of that one presence that's absolutely everywhere, we realize that this same intelligence is also inside of us, that it's the substance of our life itself. And we become aware of who we really, really are. We're divine beings made of God's energy, having a human experience. And step three, we name our desires with the feeling and with the words that they are already ours. We move away from the feeling of wanting to the feeling of having already received. already believing it is so, as Jesus would have said. So instead of saying, dear God, I want my back to stop hurting. My back has been hurting so long and my back is just killing me. And oh, dear God, please make my back stop hurting. To do a spiritual mind treatment, that's part of it. The words would be more like, thank you, God, for healing this pain that has existed in my back. Thank you, God, for removing this pain. Thank you, God, for allowing my back, to bringing my back into a feeling of health and wholeness and goodness. Thank you, God, for straightening me up and allowing my back to feel good. Thank you, God. And you see what we're doing there? We're actually summoning that feeling of gratitude. And that's step four. We're summoning that power that lives inside of us through this feeling of gratitude. And what that does is open us up. God doesn't need that feeling of gratitude from us to do whatever it is God's doing. We need it. It's for us. Because it's that sense of thankfulness that opens our consciousness to receiving more good. We raise our own consciousness, and therefore what comes into our awareness is something that is raised higher than whatever it was we were whining and complaining and hurting about before. Because it is a law of the universe. Whether you focus on religion or whether you focus on quantum physics or whether you focus on just metaphysics, there's a very clear law that what you will put your attention on increases. What you put your attention on is what you notice. What you put your attention on is what you're going to notice more of, because that's where your attention is. So a spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer helps us change what we are focusing our attention on, so that we can focus on the power and the goodness of this divine life inside of us. And that attracts more experiences of that divine light and life inside of us. And then we just let it go. We have the faith only as big as a tiny grain of mustard seed. Do you know how that big that is? A mustard seed is a teeny, 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 weeny little tiny thing. That's all the faith we need. And what I've discovered through 30 years of working with people is the moment we say, I'm willing, that's enough. All we ever have to do is be willing. Actually, we only have to be willing to be willing. We don't even have to be able to feel the willingness. If I can be willing to let this pain go and experience some gratitude that God is clearing it right now, that is as big an act of faith as a teeny tiny mustard seed. And so at the end of a spiritual mind treatment, we express that faith by saying, I now turn all of this over to God. I release it. I release the whole thing to the wisdom and the love of God or the universe or Great Spirit. And we just then let it go in faith, in trust, and allow it to shift and move. I cannot tell you how many times I've had someone do a spiritual mind treatment with me and everything in my body changes. It is amazing. It is amazing. And that is because what we're working with when we're doing affirmative prayer is we're not petitioning something outside of us. We're actually changing something inside of us so that we can experience the wholeness that is already living at the core of our being. Source energy, God, life, lives inside of us all the time. And all we ever need to do is get whatever junk has been in the way out of the way. And then we can experience that. And wholeness is a part of that. And so that's why affirmative prayer, or what they call in science of mind, spiritual mind treatment. But there's a lot of ways to do affirmative prayer without knowing a thing about a spiritual mind treatment. You basically just say, thank you, God,
that I am being healed. You pray in present tense. You say, this is my issue. This is what's been going on with me. And I now accept healing for this. And I thank you for this healing. I thank you for my back, if we're going to keep using that example, feeling whole and strong and comfortable. And in that feeling of thankfulness, gratitude, you literally begin changing all the cells in your body, and you come into a place of feeling better because you have connected with that divine energy in the core of you that is already whole, that already has the power, and you're just realigning yourself with it. And that's really, in my opinion, what prayer is. It is a realignment of ourselves with the truth of the God that's inside of us. And that's why it works, and that's why it's powerful. And for a lot of people that I've worked with who claim, you know, not to be religious or not to be able to use the word God at all, but they can, some of them, think about angels or spirits helping them. And there is this wonderful prayer that this guy, his name is Tom T. Moore, M-O-O-R-E. And Tom has written books and he has websites. But he's come up with this thing called Most Benevolent Outcomes. And it's basically a prayer to all your angels or guardian angels or all the energies and powers and forces that are around each and every one of us all the time. And he's actually written books on this, and he's been teaching this for many, many years, and he has a blog, and thousands, if not millions, of people write in their stories all the time of these sort of miraculous things that happen when they start doing most benevolent outcomes. And the reason I think it works is because it's so simple and it's so powerful. And you just make the statement and then you let it go. And the way that most benevolent outcomes work, it's really simple. You just say, I request a most benevolent outcome for, and then you state very specifically what it is. So let's say you have a job interview and you really want the job. So you would say, I request a most benevolent outcome for doing the best job I possibly can at this job interview and actually being offered this job at the highest possible salary. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And that's it. You say, I request a most benevolent outcome for, and then you say specifically what it is you want. And then you say, thank you. And you feel it, that thank you. You feel it as though it's already happened. And it works. Now, Tom has come up with a lot of different variations on this most benevolent outcome prayer because people send him in examples of how they've used this all the time, and it is pretty incredible. One of the ones that I like the best is people will say, I request a most benevolent outcome for, and then name whatever it is, and then add in the statement, and may the results of this be even greater than I could expect. Thank you. And so that little piece of, and may the results of this be even greater to expect, I think that takes care of the doubt or the worry or the, you know, the confusion some of us may have about, well, should I say how I want it to turn out? No, just say what you want. Your job isn't to figure out how it's going to happen. Your job is to get really clear about what you want and then turn it over to God. And so I think this most benevolent outcome prayer is a great way to do that. So, you know, I'm going to have a business meeting today after this show. So I'm just going to go ahead right now and I make a most benevolent outcome for that. I'm going to say, I request a most benevolent outcome for this business meeting that I'm going to today after the show to be of the greatest benefit possible to me and everyone with whom I work. And may the results of this be even greater than I could ever have expected. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's also been a lot of research done on this most benevolent outcome Because, oh my goodness, if you go to his blog and read the things people have used it for, you'll read story after story after story of incredible things happening. And one of the things I love about this benevolent outcome prayer, besides the fact that it's really simple, I'm going to say that again so you really get it. It's just that. I request a most benevolent outcome for, and then you name specifically what it is you want to happen. And then you say, thank you. And you let yourself feel as though it's already happening. That's it. He also has a benevolent prayer that thousands, if not millions, of people are using all over the world about everything that happens that we would think of as tragedies or tragic, you know, earthquakes, fires, volcanoes, people who are dealing with real difficult situations, then he developed this benevolent prayer so that you can say, I ask that any and all beings assist and comfort anyone, and then you fill in the blank, like anyone affected by that tsunami, or anyone affected by that hurricane or that tornado. The benevolent prayer is when you're saying it for someone else. And so again, I'm going to tell you that in case you're writing this down. I ask that any and all beings assist and comfort anyone, and then you fill in the blank. And so that's when you're making a prayer for someone else. You start it that way. When you're doing it for yourself, it's just, I request a most benevolent outcome for, and then you fill in the blank. It's that simple, folks. The one that I really love, the one that actually helped me, and the reason I'm going to read you this is because of what it is actually that Jesus says in Mark 11, that unless we forgive, then we cannot expect to be forgiven. Unless we let go the resentment, the bitterness inside of us, then we cannot expect to feel that. Tom T. Moore developed this thing, a benevolent prayer, to help clear us from any of that resentment or bitterness. And it's long. I'm just going to read it to you so you can get a feel for it. But you can go to his websites, and it's right there on the websites. But I want to read this, and I'm praying this myself. And I want you to feel how incredible this is for clearing any resentment or lack of forgiveness or bitterness out of ourselves and out of our hearts. I ask that any and all beings assist and comfort anyone that I have ever harmed, either physically, mentally, morally, spiritually, or emotionally, in any past, present, or future life. And I ask any and all beings to assist and comfort the families and friends of anyone I have ever harmed in any way, in any past, present, or future. Thank you. And then let yourself feel that brings forgiveness for yourself, for others. That begins to clear out the resentment so that we can actually feel that love of God inside of us, healing us, loving us. Because we are divine beings having a human experience. I just want to really thank everyone for listening today. I hope you join me every Wednesday. I also want to remind you that there is a Facebook page for this show called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And I would love to get your feedback on that page, what you want to hear about, anything you think about what we've been talking about, any suggestions, ideas, comments. I'm also looking for people who want to share either a personal transformational story or just talk about your spiritual journey. I think that doing that inspires each and every one of us to live the lives that we really are here to live. Yes, we are human beings, but we also have this divine energy at our core. And so we are divine beings having a human experience. And we've learned today that prayer is one way to help us connect with and to get support from and to feel loved by and to actually make a difference in our lives. Prayer is a great way to do that. I hope that you got something out of that to inspire you and to encourage you to sit down in prayer or to dance or to sing in prayer. Prayer can happen anywhere, anytime, any place, in any way. For me, dancing is a beautiful way to pray. Looking at a leaf or hearing the wind in the trees or watching the ocean, that is for me a prayer of gratitude always. When I'm praying to have something shift in my body or my mind because I'm not happy with how I'm being or what's going on for me, then affirmative prayer is what works the best. Praying as though, letting myself feel and believe it is already so. So I say what's the truth, and then I ask for the help, and then I let myself go into gratitude that the help is already being delivered. That is how you have an affirmative prayer. And I want to close out before we do our closing music. This is a daily affirmation that actually comes from that guy, Tom T. Moore, that wrote the Benevolent Outcome thing and has written a lot of books on that. And I love this daily affirmation so much that I wanted to close the show with it today. And once I read this, then I'm going to close out with our theme song, which is God Is by Faith Rivera. And she really reminds us that we're never alone, that wherever we are, God is right there with us at the core of everything that we're doing. It's the source energy in us burning brightly. I have created my current reality and will create all of what I experience in the future. Therefore, all of that is before is my doing. Today, I choose to raise my awareness. Today, I choose to slow down the aging clock in my cells and create divinity in my daily workings. Today, I instruct my cellular structure to vibrate to my intent and directions. I create a peaceful balance in all things, everywhere I walk. I create a peaceful balance. I create for myself great health, prosperity, abundance, and benevolent outcomes. And so it is. Where I-